Well, welcome back to another Laser Cube podcast. And with me, as always, on every other episode, Dean Brennan is here with me. Dean, good to see you again.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Good to see you.
So this is kind of a bonus episode. We talked in the last episode about automation and just kind of what's changing with regard to the Laser Cube in the industry. And we decided that we were going to do kind of this bonus episode because we wanted to talk to someone that we had talked to before on one of the previous podcasts, but we want to talk to him about this very topic. And that, of course, would be Glenn from Sarah Laser. And Dean, what was your strategy for getting Glenn back here on the podcast?
Well, my strategy was to find out what other people's strategy was. And right? And Glenn just bought a second machine, a second laser cube. So the first machine he bought, we talked about his strategy behind it. I think it was in the third episode or so. So now on the second machine purchase, his strategy of why he bought the laser cube had changed. And I think that's what he's going to talk about here.
Let's see what Glenn had to say about the second purchase.
Well, at that time, this was about 6 years ago when we bought the first one. And we didn't have any, all we had then was CO2 lasers. And we wanted to add a fiber laser. And at that time, the fiber laser was like $700,000 or $800,000. And I didn't think that they were that mature yet. So we decided to add the laser cube. It was real affordable. And it found a niche in our market, which is we're a laser job shop. So we do a variety of parts. You know, we do big parts, big panels, medium-sized panels. And then we also do small parts. And to me, it made no sense for everything. Like, you know, we'll run a part that's a half inch by 1 inch. And to run that on a machine that's 5x10 machine, a 60x120 inch machine, that didn't make a lot of sense. So our original idea with the laser cube was to add a machine that we could do small parts on. And normally small parts are the high accuracy parts. You know, if you're doing a 24x36 inch panel, it may be a plus or minus 10 to 15 thousandths part. But if you're doing very small parts, the tolerances normally could be, you know, could be, are under 5 thousandths, could even be 1 thousandths or less. So, the laser cube, which, you know, has a linear motor drive, no ball screws, no rack and pinion, seemed to us to offer a real good solution to be able to make small parts very accurately in a small workplace. Because we're very crowded here. We only have a limited amount of space here. We have really no way to expand our space. We're in the LA market and space here is expensive. So we had to be also kind of creative in the place where we could put the machine. Originally we put the machine into a maintenance area where we had a few racks that we stored maintenance parts on. We rearranged that a little bit and we were able to come up with a 10x10 space to put the machine. That's kind of how we were looking at the laser cube when we first bought it.
So we mentioned it a little bit in the last podcast. We've talked about it before, but obviously Glenn talking about one of the benefits is the size and it fit perfectly in his shop.
Well, he has a lot of machines. So, and that's because he has a lot of business. So he has lots of customers. So Glenn will send, he'll text me on the weekends or at night or stuff, and he'll send me videos of parts running on the machine. I remember the one that was hilarious, and I actually posted it on our videos. It's a 4 foot, I think it's a 48 inches by 30 inch sheet of material, and there's 2,000 parts in there. So, you know, you can do high volume, and even doing high volume, you don't use up the whole bed of the laser cube.
That sounds like a lot of parts.
It is. And they're very accurate. And now, I think he'll talk about that too.
Yeah, well, so then we asked him about the automation in particular, and here's what Glenn had to say.
Yeah, we have Mitsubishi. We have big format Mitsubishi machines. And for a long time, we didn't have any automation. Then about 4 years ago, we bought an automatic loader for our Mitsubishi machine, and that's worked out super great. We can load 5x10 sheets on there. We can do a stack of material. That works really, really well. There's no doubt that that works, and there's no doubt that that makes a lot of sense. But where that doesn't make any sense is if you've got like a 4x4 sheet or you've got a smaller, like even a REM, it made no sense for us to stop that automatic machine that was below, you know, would load jobs and run for hours at a time, to try to stop that and load a 24 by 36 inch blank on the machine. Because it actually hurt the automation in a way, because that doesn't make any sense to run smaller, you know, single sheet or those types of sheet jobs on a machine that has an automatic loader on it. So that's the other place where the laser cube kind of fit the niche for us, and it actually made our automation better, because it took jobs that we may have run, that we may have stopped the automation to run. Now the automation just keeps running on the jobs that it's really designed to run, and now we can run those types of jobs on the laser cube. Big surprise is how much money you can make in a small space. Even though it's the smallest, you know, the smallest sheet size, travel size machine we have, on most days it's the most productive machine we have. I mean, we regularly bill, you know, over $300 an hour on that machine. But, you know, if you're running a big machine with big panels, that really isn't a lot of cutting. You might get X amount of dollars for a 24 by 36 inch panel, but you can only fit 10 of those on a sheet. When you're running small size parts that are 1x2 or that small apart, you could take one sheet. And we had a job here just a couple of weeks ago where it was a 5x10 sheet, and we sheared it twice. We came up with 3 40 by 48 inch blanks, and we ran on the laser cube. And that was a $7,200 job that was run on one sheet of material and would literally run for hours. So I think the big surprise to us was how much you can really bill off a little machine. And I mean, Dean said that a lot of times, and this is true, is that if you look in the machine shop, you know, type of business, there's all sorts of sizes of machining centers. There's big machining centers, there's small machining centers, there's medium-sized machining centers, because machine parts come in different sizes. You don't run a small machine part on a big machining center. Well, it's really the same in laser cutting, too, and in fabrication, is that not all the parts are big. So it makes a lot of sense to have a machine that's really sized to do smaller parts, because there are a lot of smaller parts run on laser machines. And I think that's even becoming more and more so, too, because a lot of these parts that we run may have a few years ago been run through a stamping, where they might have stamped these types of small parts. But now the relative quantity that people stamp has become way, way less, and it makes a lot of sense now to run parts that maybe formerly were stamped, is to run those types of parts also on the laser cube. Because there's, you know, there's no tooling to buy, there's no tooling to wait to buy, there's no tooling to try to maintain. It's just, we get, you know, we get an order, we get a DXF file, we get the material, and we can immediately start making those types of parts.
So like I said many times before, I'm no expert, but the smallest machine being the most productive seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I agree, and Glenn sums it up really good, I'm sure. If we do another bonus one, we'll have Glenn on again.
Well, I will say that if anyone noticed, his clips were the longest, and so he's already been a pro. We only had him on twice, and he's already just going on his monologue.
You know, absolutely.
We're not even going to need him next time. We're not even going to need to be there next time.
No, he might be on his podcast.
That's right, it'd be the Glenn Show. We're not even going to need him. So. But we do appreciate Glenn coming back on this bonus show and telling us what he's doing with the laser cube, especially as Dean has mentioned, sort of this evolving reality with regards to automation. So we appreciate Glenn coming back on the show. And Dean, you want to say anything here before we wrap it all up?
No, to say to write less is to write better, I think.
Hey, there you go. So this was the 9th episode of the Laser Cube Podcast. I'm looking forward to episode 10. We got to have like a celebration.
We're going to have a great idea for it.
All right, well, Dean, as always, good seeing you. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.